right, everybody. We are going to do Q&A today. So I'm going to give you guys a minute to get in. If you're wondering why I'm in such a weird room, I am at a hotel. This is Don't Stop Believing weekend. So we have, I think, 160 racers coming in. They've been training. We opened up this race. God, do you remember when we opened it up? I have Coach Betsy. Let me just show y'all. There's Coach Betsy back there. She's going to be sending me the questions. We were teasing. She could just holler them out if she needed to. But I think we opened registration up in like January or February of this year. And they have been training since. And they are all coming in, arriving starting today. We have 30 of them or 27 of them or something like that who are doing a two-day intensive with me to just do real-time Zoom coaching, get to the bottom of some shit. And then Friday night, we start with registration and getting excited. And then Saturday, they're going to be like walking in the hot ass sun and running in the hot ass sun of Nashville. So it's going to be an exciting time. If you have any questions, make sure you use hashtag ask and go ahead and populate those. And we will get started. I'm really excited about this weekend. One of the things that I love watching when we're going through this process, and I think is so important for all of you, is to remember, you know, they think that the race is why they're suddenly able to train, why they're suddenly able to do new things and stuff like that. And I want all of you, because everybody now is like, y'all are used to me talking about the model and you're used to me talking about circumstances and things like that. Here's what's really happening. They have a circumstance and they created a thought that can be applied to anything. And it's like, well, this is non-negotiable. Like, I have to get this done. Like, I have to do it. Like, I signed up for it. Guys, you could put that in with your 24-hour plan. You could put that in with signing up for PNP. You can put that in with all kinds of things. And I think we get lost very often that we think that, like, you know, you decide to do something and you spend money on it or whatever. And you think that that thing is what is motivating you. And you think that that thing is the thing that's like, well, when I did that, I was able to do it. It's like it always started in your brain. It was always a thought. It was always where you channeled where you're going to take yourself. So I just want you guys to really understand that, you know, like when they showed up for all the runs that they didn't want to do, when they had self-doubt, when they were tempted to go do something else, when they wanted to quit and all that stuff, they just had a thought that was just like, but I'm not doing that. Like, I need to do this. I have to do this. It was always something. And being able to tap into, like, I want you guys to all take a moment. Don't forget to use hashtag ask. We don't have no questions. Corinne's getting out of here and having breakfast before she has to teach. I'm just saying. I am not beneath a little breakfast before I have to teach all day. So, but I want you guys to think about this. Think about something in your life right now that is so non-negotiable to you. Like, identify what is that one thing. It's probably like if your kids have sports and you're the one who drives them, like, it's not because you have to do it. You choose it every single time. And even if you don't want to do it, even if you don't like the drive, even if there's like a girlfriend who has something better to do on the agenda, all of that, like, you have a thought that, no, like, this is what I'm doing. I committed to this. This is like, you need to find those things that are in your life that you're already using really good thoughts for. Apply them to your weight loss. Figure out how to like start using those exact same thoughts when you are, you know, deciding on your plan, when you are, you know, making a plan. Like, always be on the lookout for where you're. I was listening to a podcast. It was so interesting. And he was talking about, it was a Brendon Burchard podcast. Don't ask me which one. It was like an older one. But he was basically talking about how you need to like look through your life and figure out, what am I killing it in already? And this doesn't always mean it's like a lot of us are killing it in areas that we are just like, well, but I'm a mother. I mean, I'm supposed to take my kids to school. It's like, I want you to think about some of those things that you already do and then be like, and why am I not just using that same skill? Why am I not using that same level of commitment? Why am I not doing that here? In something that I have identified is so fucking important to me. In something that I have just decided was everything. Like, if I could lose weight, like, I would get to wear the clothes I want to wear. I would never have to ask for that seatbelt extender ever again. I would, you know, walk through a restaurant and not worry that people were, you know, staring at me or if the booth was going to fit anymore. Like, I went through all of that. And it's like thinking about, like, what is stopping me from making such small changes to get there? And it's about all those small changes. Like, I think about the girls and what they had to learn in order to do this race. And it was, you know, they're going to, a lot of them are, I think half of them this year are doing 13 miles. And let me just tell you, they didn't start on day one running 13 miles. That is not how it went. That is the same that's going to happen for all of you. On day one, like, if you have been struggling getting started, or maybe you've like kind of like gotten a little off your path and stuff right now, here's the thing. It's like, you're not going to start with the perfect 24-hour plan. And you're not going to start with the type of eating that you will do when you lose all of your weight. Like, all of them had to start with a walk at first, or a little bit of running. Very small amounts. They had to make small changes to get to where that they could do the 13 miles, to get to where they could hang in there, to get to where they're going to be able to cross the finish line. A lot of you have to take that same mindset, and you don't want to. And you think that that's not the way you do it. I want you to quit relying on how you've always lost weight, what you've always been taught. And I want you to, like, tell yourself, I have been so wrong about all of it. I'm willing to figure out what is the right way for me now. Okay, I'm going to get to some questions since they're coming in now. All right, can you address using a binge daily to cover depression issues? Yeah, like, I mean, binging, like, we're going to talk a lot about this next month, so you're going to be thrilled when it comes to the Urges workshop, because it's kind of like the thing about what buffering is. So basically, binging is just like buffering. Guys, it's like, please don't sit there and think, well, I binge, it must be so worse. No, it's like, you binge. That's all we've got going on right now. And what happens is that if you are not feeling good and you don't want to deal with not feeling good, then you just eat. It's like, well, okay, I'll take my mind off of it. That's literally all that's happening. It's no more dramatic than that. It's no more deep wounds. It's none of that stuff. It's like, don't eat and be depressed at first. You're depressed anyway. Right now, you're just like binging and depressed and then feeling like shit about the binging. It's like, you might as well just be depressed for now. That's really all that has to happen. And then once you start that, then what it does is, when you take away the buffering, when you take away the eating and you take away all the things that are distracting from the depression, then you can start like looking at it. Most of you, what happens is that you end up like seeing what's there when you're not binging. And because you get freaked out by it, then you go back to the binging. And it's like, what I want you to do is, I want you to see what's there and have compassion for it. And then start working on it. Do your models. Figure out, why am I feeling depressed? Make a list of all of those thoughts that you have. Like, these are the reasons why. This is what I'm blaming my depression on. Feeling depressed is because of a bunch of thoughts. You may be blaming it on your chemical imbalance in your head and all this other stuff. That's fine. Some of your thoughts are going to work. Like, if you have a chemical imbalance, it's an easy fix. Go to the doctor and get that fixed, and then work on the other things that are the thinking that's behind it. Some of them are just going to be thoughts. Those are the things. It's like, one at a time. Like, deconstruct those. Take, like, if I was depressed right now, I'd make a list of all the reasons why I'm blaming, what I'm blaming depression on. That would be all of my thoughts. That is the things that I'm thinking about my depression. I would take the ones that actually I can fix, which is like, you know, if you need to go and see a doctor to get your meds, get that done. If you need to get more sleep, or you need to, like, you know, like, it's because I'm not taking care of myself with food. I'm not even setting myself up nutritionally. Take care of that shit. The stuff that's just like my stinking thinking around it, take them one at a time to ask coaches and say, I'm feeling depressed. Here's the thought that I've identified that's causing it. And write a little bit about it and ask the coaches to coach you through it. They do office hours every week, guys. If I was depressed, Like, I don't, like, I offer these to you guys for a reason, so that you guys can come and get some help on some of this stuff. I would be in office hours every fucking Saturday. I mean, you guys, like, seriously, if you think about therapy, you think about all that shit. That mess is expensive. And a lot of us, when we're depressed and stuff, we have to go every week. It's like, you pay $59 a month, y'all. You got coaches on Tuesday and Saturday sitting there ready to coach. If it was me and I was depressed and binging, there is no way in fucking hell I'd miss a call. I don't care if I had to, like, rent a babysitter or something. Like, I would be on that call and I would be sitting there and I would make sure that I was on there first and had my hand up every single week. And I would be posting and ask coaches like it was a job. Like, y'all need to, like, use these resources. We have them for a reason. Not so Betsy and Kathy can feel good every day. That's not why. Like, I'm just like Betsy's like, what? It's not all about me. It's like, no, it's all about you guys. So get in there and use it like it's a job. All right, I better get to some questions because we have to actually end today. Y'all keep me on time. Somebody keep me on time because we have to end at 8:15 because I have to be downstairs to start teaching at 8:30. April baby, Miss Katie, I keep procrastinating making my 24-hour plan because life feels unpredictable right now between kids, activities, and families. I feel like I never know what's going to be available to plan for. I also feel like I don't know what I'll be in the mood for. Any appreciating advice? First of all, your mood, like, this is why you're overweight. Like, if you're trying to lose weight, it's because you want to eat according to your mood. We don't do that in PNP. You know what we eat according to? Weight loss. We want to lose weight. We don't rely on our mood. So I don't give a damn what you're in the mood for. Like, make a plan and then do that. So that knocks out that problem real quick. The other one is your life is unpredictable. That's exactly why you need a plan. You don't need to leave it up to chance, which is what you're doing. It's like, oh, it's because it's unpredictable. It's like, no, your life is not unpredictable. You got some kids. You're going to go places. You're either going to use your two or you're not. You're going to know what you know in your gut, what is healthy and what's not. If you roll up in a McDonald's, you don't even got to say, like, I'm ordering a Big Mac because life's unpredictable. No, you're ordering a Big Mac because you don't want to choose a fucking salad. Be honest with yourself. It's not your unpredictable life. You have a life. You're describing it as unpredictable. It's like, when I travel, I don't say, like, I'm going to be in this unpredictable land of where I don't know where food is. No, I say I'm traveling. I'd like to lose weight or I'd like to maintain weight. So what foods are going to get me there? You got to be honest. Guys, we all have to be very honest. If you go to a family party and there's a bunch of shit that's going to make you overweight, guess what you get to do? Not eat. It will teach you to next time bring a fruit tray. Or you'll learn that you won't die or get pregnant if you wait a while. Like I, on the other day, I ate breakfast at 9. I knew I had appointments that day. I did not want to eat out. I wanted to eat the food I had at my house. I was able to go 10 hours. Guess what? I didn't pass out in the doctor's office. You just have to start proving to yourself that your life is no longer a good enough excuse to eat. So make your 24-hour plans. It's just, you need to tell yourself, this is not a good enough excuse anymore. Just not. I'm done with that shit. I realize sleep is the basic. I have the most room for improvement on. Can you suggest tips or thoughts to level up in this area? Laura, what I would do is I would actually post that one in the tribe because everybody's got, like, you're going to get like a bajillion good ideas. I have just a handful that I know work for me. I take Doc Parsley Sleep Remedy. Hey, Betsy, you can post that in the comments. Okay. It's in my kit store, kit.com/fitandfat, PHITNPHAT. I take that at night. It helps me get a little bit on the sleepy side, but it also helps me sleep deep. Just having nighttime routines, that kind of stuff is all helpful. Making sure you drink plenty of water during the day helps. But the thing that I have found the most helpful is deciding what time I'm going to bed. And I go to bed at that time, come hell or high water. I'm never up past that time. Like, I wouldn't say never, but it's a very rare occasion. Like, I was up past that time last night just for a little bit. But even when Jenny's here too. And when she rolled in, I was like, man, I'm going to sleep. I was just like, you know, we'll talk in the morning. It's just a matter of prioritizing it. Now, when you first set that time, here's what happens. Your brain doesn't want to go to sleep. It's not used to going to sleep. It's just like you're training a baby. If you want to train a baby to sleep through the night, you have to quit getting up with the baby and telling it, oh yeah, we get entertainment all night long if you get up. So you have to do the same thing with your brain. You're going to have to go through the fire of a few days of it sucking some butt. And you just lay there and you're just bored as fuck. And you don't grab your phone and you don't do any of it. Same thing within the middle of the night. If you're doing it in the middle of the night, guys, there's nothing. If you guys ever want to perturb me, let me wake up in the morning and check the Facebook group and some asshole is up at 2:30 in the morning posting saying, I can't sleep. Look, you need to call yourself the asshole. Because it's like, no wonder you're not asleep. You're on Facebook talking about not being asleep. You have decided to give your brain a donut. It's like, no, it does not need, like, you have to be the adult in the room with your brain. If you do not want to wake up in the middle of the night, at some point, you have to quit getting up with the baby and being like, party time. A phone in the middle of the night is party time. Getting up to eat in the middle of the night is party time. Lay there, think about your goals. If you wake up worried, you need to do a better job of going to bed and writing your worries down before you go to bed. But when you wake up in the middle of the night, you do not entertain stressful thoughts and you do not entertain your to-do list and anything like that. I'd say Hail Marys often. Like, I just try to find something that's so boring. It's like, well, I'm just going to sit here and pray. And I'm going to think about some goals. And until I fall asleep. I listened to the podcast on consistency this morning. And you talked about it. You talked about if it was your last day. How can I move my thoughts around that to weight loss? I swear, I thought about my family and then eating pizza. If it was your last day on earth, is this what you're talking about? Because I'm not really sure. I have a lot of videos. I want you to think about, like, when it comes to, we do an exercise in PMP. You all can do it yourselves. It's where we do this at camp a lot. You're going to write about how you spent yesterday. Okay. And then you're going to write that this is the last day on earth. And what would you be doing? And I mean, if you want to eat pizza, that's great. But here's what it tells you. That on the last day on earth, I've decided that food is more important. Like, and I want you to really take this to heart. If it was true, like, you got to, like, if a doctor told you, like, you've got 24 hours left to live, I'm so sorry. We missed everything. This is all you have. Would you spend it eating pizza? If you would, then now you know that when you eat pizza, you no longer do it, like, willy-nilly. It should be fucking planned because it is so important to you that you would take it to the last day. It needs to be something you treasure and something that you do, like, with I don't know, like, fire and brimstone. You don't just eat it because anymore. If you want pizza that bad, then you need to honor that is that important to you and not make it just a, like, oh, well, I'm tired bullshit. That's what I want you to think about. Can you describe stage 3 and stage 4 of weight loss and any pitfalls to watch for? Stage 3 is basically where the things that you're doing start making more sense and you notice they start becoming a little bit more automatic. It's like that you don't have to think about them as much. Like, you're still thinking and solving. Like, you're still going to be overeating and you're still going to be having things going on, but you're more inclined to not beat yourself up over it. You're more inclined to, like, when you want to overeat, to think about it first. You start noticing that you're, basically, it's like it's a lot easier to engage your prefrontal brain, your thinking brain, and make decisions. And they're starting to become more automatic. It's like, what in stage 2, what's happening? It's like all the things are happening. It's like, I'm having to really plan. I'm still really wanting. I'm so conscious of everything. And while all that's happening, what makes stage 2 hard is the judgment you have about yourself in that stage. That's why I tell people, the faster you get, like, at being willing to be conscious and make the mistakes and separate from judgment, the faster you get through stage 2. Judgment is what slows it down. It's like going through the muck in stage 2. And that is what also in stage 2 makes you want to quit. because you're putting what we call the unnecessary suffering on top of awareness. Awareness usually feels kind of yucky because you're just seeing all of it. You're seeing all the things you need to be doing. You see all the things that you're conditioned to do. You're seeing all the things. What makes it feel terrible is when you judge yourself for it. Like, I wish that I had been brought up different. This sucks. I wish this part was over. Like, when we're going through all of those emotions, that's what makes stage two so hard to navigate. Stage three, though, is where the judgment releases more. And it becomes more of like, I know I want to overeat or I want to eat off my plan, but I'm going to stick to it. I've started seeing some of the positive benefits and stuff. I don't know that there's a... The biggest pitfall for stage three is if you... And this is the thing I want all of you to understand. You're always going to be moving up and down through them. Don't think you're going to get to stage four and never slide back down. The goal is not to get to stage four and never... ever have a problem ever again. The goal is to get to stage four and be so aware of how you got there that when you start going back down, you can course correct really fast without beating yourself up. That's really the goal. And so when you're in stage three, it's like, I'm still having to be pretty conscious. I'm starting to notice it's a lot easier though to make the right choice. I'm still really tempted very often, but I'm not like beating myself up over urges and resisting them and thinking something's going wrong. Stage four is where it's like you can just kind of wipe an urge away, or it's like things are just becoming like you just plan because you know, like it's like I may not always want to plan, but I know the positive benefit and I just do it. It's like I'm in stage four of like basically with food. It's like, you know, I have things, but like even last night I ordered a meatloaf. It's my favorite. I always know that when I'm coming to the Marriott, meatloaf, like I'm going to order it like every day. And so last night I was eating and I thought, hey, I'm just done. I'm going to save that shit for later. And so it's like just letting those thoughts come up. And like, I had wanted to finish the meatloaf because I was like tired and whatnot. And I was like, no, I'm just going to put it in there. That's more like stage four. It's not that you're not having urges. It's not that you're not having temptations. It's not that any of that's happening. It's just that it's not dramatic when it happens. It's like, oh, I wish I didn't want to eat the rest of the meatloaf. I guess I'm going to put it away. Like, that would be like stage three. Stage two would be like, it's so unfair that I don't get to finish the meatloaf. It tastes so good. When is this stage going to be over? I just wish I was the kind of person who never had these urges. That's more like stage two. It's where it's a lot of bullshit going on there. So you kind of see where it's like, you have the same kind of shit throughout all of it. It's just your awareness level changes, your reactions to it changes, your judgment around it all changes. It's like it just becomes lighter and easier as you go, but it doesn't mean you're like free of problems. Let's see. I'm buffering with exercise as unhealthy as buffering. Is buffering with exercise as unhealthy as buffering with eating? I do find myself able to look at things more realistically after I work out. It depends. Like, if you're exercising, like, here's how you know if you're buffering with exercise. So one, just make sure that that's what's happening. You know, if you are exercising and you feel like you have to, that you like you're doing it from a place of I'll gain weight if I don't, you feel fearful if you're not exercising, that would be buffering. And no, you need to like work on that. That is just, I don't think it's any kind of buffering for the wrong reasons. If you're not dealing with your life, that's the problem. It doesn't matter if it's exercise, if it's just, you know, sitting around, meditate. Like, people can buffer with meditation. Like, you need to be thinking about your life. Like, this is the thing. Buffering is when you are like, I want to do something else because I want to escape whatever it is now, or I don't want to look at whatever's happening now, or I want to create a feeling that I'm not willing to create by changing my thoughts. Like, I'm so locked into my story over here, I'm not willing to change my thoughts. So now I'm going to eat to change my state. That is what we're doing. So exercising, because like it's good for me, it's like it's a good stress reliever for me. Like, I can go out and I can, you know, like I love to exercise to help like clear my mind and stuff. There's nothing wrong with that, but you're doing it from a place of you love yourself, not because you loathe yourself. I'm looking for something to help me interrupt my pattern of nighttime eating. I am getting better at not doing it, but when I do, I get the effits once I start and overeat at the top of going off plan. I'm looking for a new thought to help stop me. A new thought is probably not going to stop you. You have to stop you. Like, I'm not doing this. Like, when I see this, this is what I see. Someone who wants there to be a thought that somehow I am magically going to have it easier. It only becomes easier once you go through the process of not doing it and it was hard. And you teach your brain that it's okay to stop. And you teach your brain that it's not the end of the world. And you're like, oh, it's not that bad to sit around and not have the nighttime eating. So what I would do is, rather than working on finding something to stop it altogether, what I would do is, whatever you're using on the nights when it's working, that's your thought. We just need to shore that up and practice it more. But what I would do is work on the effort part. You need to learn first, before you even learn to stop all of them, you still haven't figured out how to stop in the effort mode. A lot of you think that the accomplishment is it not starting at all. And the only reason why you don't want it to start at all is because you judge that you did it. It's like, what if that's really not a problem? What if it's just I overate? Because a lot of you, when we put overeat in the circumstance, your circumstance is overeating is bad. Overeating won't get me to my weight loss. It being bad and it not getting to your weight loss is your thought. I want you to put into overeating, my thought is, there's still shit to learn. So what is it? So for you, it's like, you've got a big, like, your everything is telling you, like, oh, we're supposed to figure out how to start an overeat and gain authority over our mind. We're supposed to be learning now how to notice when we're doing something that's totally against a goal, which you can apply in anywhere, like overspending and stuff. You're supposed to now be learning, oh, I'm supposed to figure out when I'm not showing up in a way that's going to make me proud tomorrow, how to stop and course correct. It would be no different than, like, let's say you and your husband are arguing and you notice in the middle, it's like, I'm probably going to regret all this shit tomorrow. But then most of us are like, but damn it, I'm right. And we just keep arguing and arguing and we, like, make it so much worse. That's an effort moment. That's like saying, fuck it, I'm going to be right. Fuck it, I want him to feel as bad as me. Fuck it, we should all be miserable. If I'm going to be miserable, we should all be miserable. It's the same thing with, like, eating. So learning how to stop in a fuck it moment in the food can teach you the skill of watching yourself from a higher level and understanding when you're behaving in a way that you're like, oh shit, it's gonna be some back end repercussion. Maybe right now is a good time to stop. Maybe right now, not all is lost. That is your lesson. My 24-hour plan continues to include snack foods I'm usually not hungry for. I include them in case I want a snack without eating off plan. How do I get to a place in confidence about writing the lean 24-hour plan and knowing I'm not likely to deviate? This is so interesting because I was working with the person who coaches me on this morning for myself. I do this a lot of times with, like, wine. Like, I will be like, I don't think I really want to drink that day, but I'm going to go ahead and plan it. And this is what she pointed out to me, which I thought was very insightful. It's planning for in case I want it, I don't want to have to tell myself no. I want you to, like, just think on that. For now, I want you to keep them in. But I want you to think about, all right, now when I'm planning them, it's because I don't want to tell myself no in the moment when I'm going to want it. And when am I going to be ready to practice that part? And, like, I told her this morning, it's so funny because, like, I was like, okay, here's what I'm committed to. I'm not thinking about it until, like, you know, we were talking about Saturday night. It's party night here at the thing. And I was like, I don't know that I actually want to drink on Saturday. She's like, why don't you just make a decision? And so anyway, she was coaching me on it. And I said, you know what? I don't think I'm ready to make the decision. I said, I know that this is me choosing all these things. And this is me choosing all this other stuff. I said, but here's what I'm committed to. Thinking it through and having my decision made. And between now and then, I'm not going to overthink it. I'm not going to, like, negotiate. I'm not going to do all that kind of stuff. I'm going to make a decision on Saturday morning and I'm going to honor it no matter what my decision is. And I'm going to hold space for if I decide to plan it to make sure that I understand, it's because I don't want to deal with an urge and a want. It's not because of any other reason. It's like, when will I be ready to do that? And so it's just like I'm going to tell you guys, it's always about being super honest with yourself. This is one of the reasons why I love like being in accountability groups and having people like talk back to you some, so that you can kind of see patterns that like you might not be seeing. Like, I just didn't even think about that. I was like, huh, that's a really good point. So anyway, we're always working on ourselves. And so I think for you, what I would do is I would sit there and think, and I wouldn't call it my lean 24-hour plan. Let me just tell you, let's just call it the 24-hour plan and not have like adjectives around it, because I just want it to stay a circumstance. Okay, I just want you to have like my 24-hour plan, and your thought is just like, this is the one I'm following today. And it's like, it's going to be the one that either allows you to want things and experiencing wanting it and not following through on it, or just to see what will happen and being able to learn from it. Or it's going to be the one that's like it is now. It's like, maybe I the last thing I want is to go behind my own back right now. That's kind of what I was telling my girlfriend. I said, the last thing I want is to not plan it and then end up talking myself into it. And I was like, I just don't want to be that person. Like, I don't want to be that person. I want to be the kind of person that just makes her plans and does her plans. And so, like, I always like to think of, there's no right or wrongs in all of this. There's just honesty and knowing where you're showing up for yourself. And sometimes being really honest is like, no, this is not the best version of me right now, but I don't have to beat myself up over it either. I just want to be aware of the version that's showing up right now. I am still store meeting as soon as I get home from work at times. I'm writing plans and sticking to them 50 to 75% this month. Here's what I would do. I would actually do that math, because if it's 50 to 75%, you haven't done your math. You're thinking math. You need to actually do it, and you need to have the exact number. I'm going to tell all of you, when y'all give me like these, like this percent of the time, you need to have had so many of your 24-hour plans done that you can actually go through and do the math. When you do the real math, it clears a lot of drama up in your head. It doesn't make you think you're doing better than you are. It doesn't make you think you're doing worse than you are either. It just gives you the fact. I feel that to prevent the storm eating, I need to purge any snacks or foods out of my house. Nuts and cheese are my downfall. How do I not fall to the temptation as I walk into the door? I want to make sure that you're actually planning the nuts and the cheese. Make sure you have them portioned. Here's what I would do it. Like for you, I would just, you need to get super more conscious about it. So what I would do is I would plan how much you're going to eat based on what you've been eating during your storm eats. Get it all out. Get it on a plate. Sit down and have it, and just eat it intentionally, and decide, like, I want you to like experience every bite. Just be like, and I'm eating this because it's on my plan. I'm going to chew it. I want to experience it, so that your conscious brain, this is what happens, is a lot of times when we're storm eating and fog eating, well, all the time, but you'll learn a lot about this next month in the urge calls, guys. Your unconscious brain is having it. It's just going based upon what it does every single day. There's nothing going wrong with it. It's just like, oh, okay, well, you know, 50 to 25% of the time, this is what we do. We just eat. And so we just go and we do that. And what happens is our reasoning brain can't get turned on. We're not giving our reasoning brain a tripwire to be turned on. So that is the purpose of like, okay, so I'm still going to plan it, but I'm going to change the game a little bit. We're going to actually sit down and we're going to do it. Like, if I'm going to have cheese and nuts, it has to be portioned out according to what I normally store meat. It has to be on a plate. It has to be done this way. Because when you do all that, your reasoning brain has to engage with it. And this part of your brain is where the goals in your future self and the judgment self, that's where it resides. It doesn't reside in the unconscious part of the brain. So unless you actually turn it on, none of that discussion and none of that stuff can actually happen. So it's requiring of you to turn it on, and it takes some energy. And so what I like for you guys to do is, like, sometimes before you even like say, okay, I'm not having this, I'm not doing this, I'm not blah, 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 you need to like plan to have it in such a conscious and deliberate way. And you need to go through the fire of your reasoning brain arguing with your unconscious brain and it's saying like, why are we not just like vegging out on the couch doing it? Why are we just like, it'll like bitch about all that. But you need to have that tension and that bitching and to feel like you literally have split personality syndrome going on. Because your reasoning brain can win out if you allow it to talk enough. But you need to turn it on for a while. And then your reasoning brain will direct you towards your goals. It will direct you towards the results you want. It will direct you to where it'll say like, holy fuck, you're never going to lose weight eating this. Are you kidding me? It's like, we have goals. Don't you remember Sunday when we were food prepping and shit and we were doing that weekly plan? You want all of that to come in. Okay. Is it okay to skip a weigh-in? It depends on why. You know, if you're going to skip a weigh-in, because like if I go on vacation, sometimes I do. I'm just like, I'm not going to weigh what I did on vacation. I'll weigh when I get back. But if you're skipping it because you think the number is doing something to you, back your truck up. Numbers cannot do anything to you. You need to weigh in practicing what you're going to think ahead of time. But if you're just like, you know what? I'm getting back to my basics. I'm doing all my things and I'm going to be really focused on my actions and stuff. That's fine. I don't care. But if you're really focused on all of that, you won't care about the number. That's the trick. You guys get so caught up in the number that you forget that your actions are where all of the pride, all of the self-development, all of the things should come from. What are your tips to get back on track after 2 days of going off plan? Write a 24-hour plan, drink your water, go to bed tonight, and start dialing back into your hunger scale. That's all the tips. You guys always want to complicate it. Like there's supposed to be, I don't know, like some secret habit that I've not told you about this. So if you want to get back on plan, you know what you do? You write a plan for the day, the one that you're going to follow. Not the demeaning one, not the one that like over course corrects, all that kind of stuff. It's like if you're veering off the road on one side, don't just hairpin turn it and hope that you get right back on the road. It's like, no, drift back in. Create the plan that will allow you to get back on the road, not the one that's going to just have you careening off the other side by over course correcting. That's really all that's got to happen. It was my birthday, my boss, and now she's leaving. I'm feeling a little discouraged. Of course you're feeling discouraged because you think something's gone wrong rather than thinking about what am I going to do next? Get your brain out of the shitter. Like if you feel discouraged because you've been off plan, just like, of course I'd be disappointed. I thought I'd be on plan this week, but here's what I'm going to be doing. You start thinking about like, I'm the kind of person who just gets right back on plan. In 2 days, I'll be feeling amazing when I'm back on plan. Like that's where we need to go with our brain. I have not lost weight since I hit 199. It's been 3 weeks. I seriously have been doing all the things. I've upped everything, activity, water, and writing. I was sure I had lost at least 2 pounds this week and I was up 0.6. Help. What I would do is make sure it's your twos. Did you do on the, Shawnee, can you post real quick? You're going to be last question. Can you post if you, did you do your on the clock challenge this week? Did you participate in that? Just give me some detail on your food. Like have you been overeating at all? Are there any snacks that you're still planning or any food that you're still planning as a just in case, all that kind of stuff? Let's kind of dial into that. That would be my best advice. If it's been 3 weeks and like this week you were up 0.6, increasing activity, water, and writing. Like I want you to, here's the thing. Activity isn't going to make you lose any more weight. Water's fine. I mean, I think that's great. Writing isn't going to make you lose any more weight. Here's what's going to make you lose weight. Getting real in check with hunger. Are you getting hungry enough? I don't mean like chewing your arm off, but are you actually waiting until like true hunger? Are you still stopping it where you're not? Your body's kind of telling you, it looks like, that your twos may have shifted once you crossed another threshold. It may be a little bit less food than you think you need to eat. And I'm going to tell you guys, a lot of you are going to be like, but I'm already eating so much less. It's like, yeah, but you're judging it against how you used to eat so much. Most people who are thin don't eat lots of food. Like I look at my son, there are days where he eats a lot. I have been in touch with the 2 to 2. All right, try this. I want you to go to negative 3 into 2 for a week. I want you to go to 3. It's going to be just a little bit hungrier. It's basically going to be like, I'm going to get to negative 2 and I'm going to wait for at least an hour before I eat and see what happens. And if you can't wait an hour, like let's say you have a job where you can't do that, here's the other hack you can do. Whatever you've been planning to eat, you like literally need to eat 3/4 of it and be willing for like, I would say if you really want to get off this plateau, be willing to do it for a week. Eat 3/4 of what you typically eat. And even if you don't think it's enough, you stop anyway so that you can see a 1 week experiment to see if that's really what your body's actually needing. So often our brain gets so fucking focused on, no, this is what it is. This is what it is. This is what it is. And we just don't question it enough. So if you're like on a legit plateau, that's what I would do. So just give it a try. This week it's negative 3 land for you. If you notice you start losing weight and you notice you don't feel a lot different, your negative 3 might actually now be your new negative 2. And that's one of the things, okay? Reply back if you've got anything else you want to add to that. And then April baby, really struggling with sticking to the plan. In order to have a win, I've been putting protein, veggie, carb. Is that okay? Yeah, I think it's fine. But I don't understand why you can't just like put down what you're actually going to eat and still get a win. Put down the veggie, put down the protein, and put down the carb to get the win. What is the difference? Is it because if you just want a choice in veggies, I'm fine with that. But it's like, I want you to really think about how different is that from what you were doing? If protein, veggie, carb means fried chicken, your vegetable is a loaded baked potato, or a carb is your loaded baked potato, and the veggie is like fried zucchini sticks, you know, this is where your brain can kind of start negotiating and stuff. But if your veggie is going to be like a piece of steak, baked potato, some green beans, I don't know what your veggies are, but if it's going to be that, why not just put that down? I want you to just ask yourself, like, if you really want to stick to your plan, make it really realistic rather than protein, veggie, carb. What you're trying to do is you're not trying to make it realistic. You're trying to make your plan negotiable. Like, well, I'm going to backdoor into being negotiable. I would rather see you go. It's okay to do that, guys. I just want you to like your reason. And your reason is, I'm struggling with my plan, so now I'm going to be even less specific. And I want you to be like, I'm struggling with my plan. I need to be more realistic to get your wins.
That's her comment right there, Andrea.
Which
one?
I
have a hard time staying on plan. That's her question.
Yeah, if you're having a hard time staying on plan, make it realistic. Don't make it so that your brain has no guidance. This is what happens when, like, I'm all about protein, veggie, carb, especially if you're on vacation and stuff. But your brain craves knowing what to do. And if you're an overeater, the last thing you need is to have interpretation, spontaneity, and stuff like that all in the mix. Why? Because your brain is going to go immediately to what it wants. That's what happens when we don't have a plan. It immediately goes to its wants and desires. At least when you have a plan, you have a speed bump between wants and desires. But here's, if you're having trouble sticking to your plan, it's probably because you're planning bullshit you're not willing to eat. Do not forget, you have to be an 8 or better. When you create the plan, you need to be an 8 or better, feeling confident that you will eat this. If you are not, you are doing it wrong. And then that builds your confidence that you will do what you say you will do. And then you start deciding, all right, I take it really hard when I switch. Well, quit doing that. Here's what you're doing. You need to learn. You need to plan better. Rather than taking it hard, like, let me just throat punch myself. Why not saying, I need to learn how to plan better. I need to start getting more realistic. This shit isn't working. Because I'm going to tell you, beating yourself over is not working. Because now you're trying to get to where you'd be less specific. You don't really know what you're doing. I will give you this. If you want to get better, like if you're going to do protein, veggie, carb, then put 2 options. That's all you get though. Mm-hmm. Practice, like seriously, practice not beating yourself up and figuring out how to get dialed in. And not beating yourself up. All right. And everybody else, any tips for eating 2 to 2 at lunch when we have a designated time, post in the Facebook group. There's a lot of people who do shift work who can help you with that for sure. And then I'm bored with my homemade soup. Post, and I swear to God, you will get people who will give you the best lunch menus. Anything that you're bored, when it comes to food, there's one thing I know P&P likes to talk about. That's called food. You post in there, you're going to get all the recipes, all the good things that people are like, oh, this is a winner for my family. This is a winner for me and stuff. All right. It is time. I got to go downstairs and start doing coaching. 2 days in a tight room with me, and we are going to be coaching. What do they mean, protein, veggie, carb? Like, somebody's going to put on their plan, I'm going to have a protein. So I'm going to have like chicken, steak, or fish. I'm going to have a veggie. Any veggie will work. I'm going to have a carb. Like, I'm going to have rice. I'm going to have baked potato. I'm going to have Ezekiel bread or something along those lines. That's what they mean, that they're just going to have these things. I think that's fine, guys. It's the reasoning behind it. Her reasoning behind it is not to help her dial in onto what the actual problem is. It's an escape mechanism to not have to face that she's choosing her wants and desires in the moment. I want her to do that because it's like, this is the system that works for me. Okay? All right. Y'all have a good one. Talk to you later. Bye, y'all.